Adam Morrison here. When it comes to top-tier contracting, my go-to choice is McGilvery Environmental. They're not just any contractor. They're the best in Spokane and North Idaho. With years of experience, they handle it all. New construction, meticulous repairs, and asphalt overlays. From start to finish, they ensure your project is completed with the highest quality end results. And here's the scoop for this year. McGilvery Environmental has expanded its services to include asphalt paving. That means top-notch commercial parking lots, residential driveways, and road construction. So, ready to kickstart your project? Reach out to Kip at McGilvery Environmental by calling 208-556-6384 for your free estimate. Don't forget to mention my name, Adam from the Perimeter, and experience the difference that McGilvery Environmental brings to the table. Again, that's 208-556-6384, McGilvery Environmental. My number one choice for all my contracting needs. The Perimeter would like to thank our sponsor, HDG Architecture. HDG is a Spokane-based architectural firm whose aesthetic can be described as an understatement of badassery, an idea that sets the standard for their approach to every client and every project decision. The world is full of poorly designed spaces, and HDG wants to change that. Check out some of their award-winning work at studiohdg.com. Welcome to The Perimeter, Season 3, Episode 18, presented by McGilvery Environmental with Brennan, the producer. Coming off a good week for Gonzaga. Great win at LMU. Kind of a funny first half, and then a blowout home win versus Pacific, second to last game. We're going to cover the Portland game coming up, and then a big one on Saturday at home, last home game of the season against Santa Clara, who obviously beat us the first WCC game of the season down there. Has, you know, seeding implications for the West Coast Conference. So still a lot to play for. We'll talk about bracketology, where they have us. You know, we usually have Lenardi and then what Fox and CBS has us, and they're usually pretty spot on. And then we'll talk about kind of an odd topic. Is there going to be a senior night versus Santa Clara? Because there's technically only Anton, but he got honored last year. And not saying that you just don't, but there's no seniors. So it's kind of a different deal. Senior night's usually pretty special. There's been some really cool moments in the past. And I think the way that they have the kids walk down and all that stuff's pretty neat. And hopefully the students are out in full force, especially for that Santa Clara game. But, you know, travel down to LMU. Kind of a weird game because they had four guys hurt. But in the pregame, Huddy and I were talking about it. Like, they still had enough firepower to be, like, dangerous. And during the pregame scout, you know, pregame meal that, you know, I go to and watch, that's the message was you know, laid across to the guys, like, hey, you blew them out at home, and, you know, Dom's not playing, and I think I remember there's two of their bigs that weren't playing. Like, don't fall into the trap. This is still a very good basketball team, and they were spot on. That first half was a really fun basketball game to watch. We shot 51%, 8 of 14 from 3 in the first half. They shot 18 of 31, 58%, and then 8 of 13 from 3, so it was 47-46. It was a fantastic basketball game to check out. And then that Will Johnston kid went bonkers in the first half, 22. Australian kid, he's got the best rat tail in college basketball.
that rat tail is something else. It's
And also, like, you got to remember, like, you know, that might be a cultural thing, like, you know, the Aboriginal tribes and stuff, you know what I mean? So totally. You're like, before you're like, hey, dumbass, you know what I mean? That's what I kept thinking. I was like, oh, maybe it's just part of his culture. So like, sometimes you always have to, but it's a true rat tail.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
It's cool.
And then they got Leah Pepe, who was out, probably their best defender, one of the toughest guys in the league, one of my favorite players. He's out for the season, I believe, but he's got like one of the best mullets in college basketball as well. So anyway, this team was dangerous. He goes bonkers in the first half. We play good. And I kept saying on the radio, I'm like, we're only up one, but like normally, like if we're only up one against a bad team like that, you know, there were 9-15 at the time or 10-15 or whatever. you know, there's something to complain about. I'm like, look at the numbers, are pretty good. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, there's nothing to, they're just, the one kid's going bonkers. You know what I mean? And like, we were closely guarding them. They ran good actions to them. They played inspired. And I said it on the broadcast before. I said, sometimes it's, these teams like this are dangerous because they have no reason to like care in a good way. Mm-hmm. Like there's no pressure is what I'm trying to get to. And then like, if you're playing like six or seven guys, you know, you're not coming out. You play completely free. Mm-hmm. You play like, doesn't matter if you make a mistake. You shoot it with confidence. You can, obviously the only thing is foul pressure, you know, like foul trouble. But like, you can like play like an AU style like you did in high school where you know you're not coming out. Mm-hmm. And that showed in the first half. You know, I was impressed with how hard they were playing. Stan Johnson does a good job of getting their guys to play hard. But again, like in the first half, I mean, we're 8 of 14 knocking down shots, 16 of 31 overall, like 7 of 9 from the free throw line. We won the glass battle. We were sharing the basketball, and it was just kind of like, oh yeah, this will be fun in the second half. Hopefully we can separate. And that's what we did in the second half. We did a better job on Johnston. He ended up getting 33 at 22 in the first half. Like I mentioned, 12 of 21, 7-11 from downtown. Great game for him. Happy for the kid. You know, it's pretty cool that he got, you know, really good game against Gonzaga on television and all that stuff. But we like kind of face guarded him, and it really slowed him down. And then on the ball screen coverages, I think we double teamed him every time he came off of it, which is the right thing to do. And get it out of his hands. And then we kind of separated. I was proud of the guys, how they, you know, hung with it. And about the 12 to 10 minute mark is when we kind of made the slow separation to where we got to, you know, 6 and then 8. And then we ended up winning by 17. But it was just a fantastic game all around. Both teams shot it well. They shoot 52%. 11 and 20 from three. We go 37 and 62, 59%, 67 in the second half, and then 10 and 20 overall from three for the game. So, like, really knocked down shots. It was a beautiful game. Graham played great, 11 and 19, had 23 points. Anton was fantastic, 5 of 8, 13 points, 11 rebounds, obviously double-double. Ben Gregg was terrific, 6 of 8, 3 of 5 from downtown, 15 and 7. He's been great as a starter. Mm. Nemhard was fantastic. Goes 7-11, 2-3 from downtown, 16 points, 11 assists. Obviously a double-double in the assist category, only 3 turnovers. Nolan played great, 7-12, 4-6 of downtown, made all his free throws, 22 points. So I was just really impressed with our guys, you know, kind of hung in there, didn't – not freak out's the right term, but just kept sawing wood and knew that, you know, our talent and their lack of depth, especially in that game, would take over. Mm. I'm really starting to think this team's hitting their stride in the right time. Like, they're looking better. They're shooting it better. I think having Ben Gregg, like we said, in the starting lineup is overall helped this club. But overall, a good, you know, game in L.A. That's always a scary place to play because it's not a lot of energy in that building, even though people come, but it's L.A., so it's a different crowd. Mm-hmm. It's not a raucous environment.
Right.
It's a weird gym. It's a cool gym, but it's different. It can feel empty. So if you don't create your own energy, you can get dicey. And then you're in LA, like, you don't know if there's guys' minds are in, you know, other places. Mm-hmm. It's just a natural thing for a young kid to do. But I was really impressed with that win. We obviously needed it to keep pace with St. Mary's. But
quick question about the game. Yeah. I missed the very beginning of it. Were they doing like a celebration? Like, was there anything going on? Like, for honoring someone at the game, anything like that going on?
No, there was Paul Westhead is all they did.
Oh, okay.
They just had him stand up and he was at the game.
Oh, gotcha. That's what I coach. That's what I saw. I was like, I saw that and I was like, are they on? Is someone getting honored at another Gonzaga game? I was just like, I feel like Gonzaga does these games and then they always bring like the schools always bring out their best, yeah, like during these games,
because you know people are going to be in the crowd, right? It's time to honor them and stuff like that. It makes sense. But yeah, it was Paul Westhead, their former coach, when they were 80. I think he was there 85-90 or 87-90. It's with the Hank Gathers and Bo Kimball, and they kind of revolutionized basketball before it got to where it is now. But score a ton of points. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously he was the head coach of the Lakers, and they got pushed out by Pat Riley. You know,
yeah,
for good reason. You know what I mean? Like, that was the right move. But he's a Paul Westhead's a great coach, and he was just at the game randomly. It was kind of funny that I said it on air. It's like 30 rows up. You guys couldn't get a better team. You know what I mean? I'm just like, not that I'm saying anything, but I'm like, let's get him down by the court maybe. But that's here nor there. But yeah, it was a great game, man. It was.
The Perimeter will be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Our family is all over the place sometimes, but ICCU helps us keep up with them. We use Card Control to turn on Olive's debit card when she needs to pay for activities.
And turn it off when she's shopping online.
We make sure Forrest is depositing his lawn mowing checks into his college fund. And we definitely make sure to ask Grandma Ivy where all those Zelle transfers come from. Phew, that's a lot of keeping up. Ready for a break?
It's here nor there, but... Yeah, it was a great game, man. It was a fun game to call, too, because, like, both teams, like, made shots.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cool watching a team with, like, seven guys. They had six scholarship guys. They played seven that just kind of, like, try to grind their way through and play complete, you know, play really hard.
Yeah,
and,
that'd be hard to lose four guys.
Yeah, I mean, Dom Harris said he had a knee-to-knee thing, a bone bruise, so whatever that means. So he didn't play, and I was kind of disappointed, not just the fact that he got injured. I wanted to watch him have a game against Gonzaga again on his home floor. And then Leo Pepe just kills him, not having him. He's like one of the better just glue guys in the league. You know what I mean? Even though they're not having a terrific year, but when he's on the floor, he gives them a better chance. He's a strong player, can score a little bit, but just does everything. You can't push him around, you know. So it really hurt him. Then we had Pacific, what was it, two nights ago?
Yeah, on Saturday night.
Saturday, yeah. Pacific 6-22, 0-13. Home game. Full disclosure, I watched maybe 2 minutes of it. I turned it on and I saw the scores. My daughter played in districts at 5, and then the game starts at 6. Normally I'm on the air at an hour before, but I told the guys down there, I'm like, I could show up at like halftime as soon. Don't even come. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's pointless at that point.
Mm-hmm.
We won by, what is that, 26?
26, yeah.
I mean, our guys played really good. I'm just looking at the box score. Graham goes 9-for-9, perfect, obviously, 21 points in 25 minutes. Anton gets 17 out of 7 of 8. Ben Gregg, 2-of-4, has 4 points. Then Ryan Nemhard, 7-of-14, 18 points, 10 assists. So 2 back-to-back double-doubles with assists. Fantastic. Nolan Hickman, 5-of-10, 16 points, 4 assists. And then Braden Huff with another. Look at these. He played 11 minutes, and he goes 6-of-8, 2-of-3 from downtown. He gets 17 points in 11 minutes.
That's awesome.
The kid's a scorer. I hope, you know, he understands that his role is going to be magnified next year. He's a really good player. He's just got great touch, can shoot it, scores in bunches. Obviously, he needs to be a better defender, but I don't think he's that bad, right? Sometimes it's just overblown how people get into that. Well, he's scoring at the other end. So what do you want? You know what I mean? It's like the object is to put the ball in the cup.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'd rather have that than a guy that can't fucking shoot and can't play. But he's a really good defender. Cool.
And he has that length.
Playing 4 and 5.
And he has that length. He gets block shots. He gets tip balls. Yeah. Like I think like he's a disruptor. It's he's 100%. Fun to watch.
Yeah, he's got a nose for the ball. Like you don't score that much in that little time without knowing where a tip's going to be, and you go get a cheap, or you just slightly push a guy in the back. You know what I'm saying? But it doesn't get called, or you angle him out and you get tip ins and stuff like that. We do a good job on the glass too. +8, and then we had 17 assists. So, yeah, great game for our guys.
Two games shooting over 66%.
Yeah.
It's
really good.
That's
then we go 8 for 20 from 3. I didn't mention that. We were 10 for 20 in the last, 18 out of 40, so whatever, 40-something, 48% or whatever that would be, 45, whatever.
Yeah.
We're treading in the right direction. Now, obviously, these aren't the best teams in the league. But it's still the end of the year and we're playing good basketball. It's better than the opposite. And then we got the huge 3 games coming up, which is so weird that they get stockpiled on the backside.
Yeah.
But, you know, Santa Clara coming in, really good club, really good basketball team. You know, hopefully, what was there, 17-10, 8-4 in conference. So we're just right ahead of them with the two losses. So that in their mind, if they can beat us again and then somehow something happens, they can move maybe into that second place if San Francisco falters as well. Mm-hmm. You know, and they have a tiebreaker. But
yeah,
very good team. Play pretty fast. They got good bigs off the bench, like role-playing bigs. So to be curious to see. Yeah, and they just lost to San Francisco by one.
Yeah.
Be curious to see how they play us. And then they lost to St. Mary's by five. Anyway, it'll be curious to see how they play us at our place, because they were fantastic in that first half, in that game at their place, the Steve Nash night.
Yeah.
And we had a chance to win that game. You know, if we win that game, and, you know, Nembhard's played fantastic, and especially in conference play, but he, you know, smokes the front end of 1-on-1. If we make that, mm-hmm. you know, up one, we're up three, then obviously anything can happen, but we don't lose the game. So, yeah, I'm curious to see. It's going to be a really fun game. It's a chance for us to firmly move into the second, though. Because mm-hmm. What are we now, 10-2? Yeah, 10-2. In conference, yep, 10-2.
Yeah, 10-2.
So I think it's a great opportunity to get another. This would be considered a quad two win. I think they're in the 60s last time I looked at their nets.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be considered a quad two. And it's not just quad ones. They look at quad ones, quad twos. And it's a get back game. It's a revenge game for us. So I know our guys are going to be hyped. And then, like I prefaced earlier in the opener, it's the last home game. So hopefully our students are raucous and pretty vulgar in a good way. Because they are down there. Their students are pretty into it, which is good. But we talked about it, like, I wonder if they're going to do a senior night or whatever. Oh,
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's going to be Anton Watson's very final home game, hometown boy. Yeah. Like, I mean, it wouldn't feel right if they didn't do something like a
100%
video montage, like, yeah. You know, like, obviously he already had the graduation experience last year, but, like, they got to do something.
Yeah, no, they do. And you're exactly right. Hometown kid, he's been a great ambassador, you know, he's never had any trouble or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Soft-spoken in a good way. And he's had two great, you know, I'm going to count last year, two really great seasons.
Mm-hmm.
He's played fantastic this year, really grown into his own. And I mentioned it before, I think he has a legit chance to be an NBA player.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't have said that 3 years ago, and that's just the real honest part about it. But his body got past the injury stuff, and then he got more confident, and he looks like he did when he was at prep. It was just the real, like, versatile score. You know, can do all the steal stuff. Defensively is good. Shoots it comparable enough from three. More bounce than you think. Sneakier, quick. So he has a chance legitimately to play in a pro in the NBA. And, like, honestly, he'd be a 3-and-D guy, but there's nothing wrong with that. So, yeah, I think they'll do some, at least I think video montage would make sense too.
Mm-hmm.
Be pretty neat. So yeah, it's a really important game for us. Obviously, hopefully our guys are ready to go. It's a big game as far as the bracketology. I prefaced that earlier. Lenardi has us as the last team in as 11 seed in the play-in game against Ole Miss. So that's the Dayton deal, which mm-hmm. we've never gone to, but there's nothing wrong with that. The year we played UCLA in the Final Four, they were one of those teams.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. like, people don't scoff at that. If that's what we are and we have to go play another one, like, we should be happy about it. Fox has us as a 10 seed in the South versus Oklahoma. CBS has us as a first four out. So obviously these last 3-4 games have helped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were the next four out for a while, you know, mm-hmm. and then so it just goes crazy. It goes up and down. AP, I think we're ranked 26th, right out of the top 25.
Yeah.
Coaches poll not ranked. I think we're 26, 27, same thing. Mm-hmm. And then the net, we're up to 23. So it's always like you want the net part is more important.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like, how are we considered first four out? We're like the 23rd you know, with algorithm.
Yeah,
best team in the country. That's what I always. That's where I am always just like, I don't understand. Some of this I don't understand. And if you could deep dive a little bit, maybe more. But some of it, I'm just like, I don't get. Like, how the hell would we be considered out for the top 25 in the net with the strength of schedule?
Yeah.
You know, all that shit that really matters,
mm-hmm.
not just eyeballs and stuff like that.
I mean, as we get closer to the, I mean, after, if we don't, you know, obviously win the WCC tournament and we have to play that guessing game of like bracketology records and all that, but like, yeah, it's gonna have it's
it so, does, so what are we right now? Let's see what our record. Let's go over hypotheticals
yeah.
just real quick, and we're gonna do this again obviously before the selection show if we don't win, you're right, or
yeah.
before we go to Vegas. But we're 20-6
yeah,
12-2 at home, so 10-2 in conference. You know, what are we? We're 85 points a game scoring, I think. So we're the top 10 in offense efficiency. That stuff matters.
Mm-hmm.
Shooting over 50%. Matters. We've climbed up to 34 from three, which is we were at the 29s, 30s, 31s for a majority of that season.
Yeah.
So we definitely are shooting it better with volume. So let's say, okay, how many games have we got left? Three conference games.
Three conference
okay,
games.
Okay, so let's say we go 23-6.
Sorry, we have four. We still got to play Portland.
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, I'm not even talking about that game. Let's just say we go 24-6.
Yeah.
Okay. And then let's say we win the second game or the first game. We get second. Let's just say we get second. We beat St. Mary's, but we win four out.
Mm-hmm.
We're 25-6, and we get to the championship game at 25-6. St. Mary's, the second game will be a quad one. San Francisco could move into that potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then who else? If UCLA was still rolling like they were like 2 weeks ago, that's the other one where people were like, that could move into
a quad one.
And then, but also they count quad one losses are not as bad.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say we get to 25-6 into the, you know, WCC championship game. And let's say we lose at the buzzer or something
yeah.
by one. That'll be really interesting to see if we're in or not.
It will be really interesting.
So it would be 25-7.
Yeah,
let's just say hypothetically. That's curious because then let's just say for argument's sake we're 28 and below the net, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happens, but we'd probably move up if we won those five games we just hypothetically said.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. 25-7 with a win at Rupp, a win at San Francisco, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
And then a win at St. Mary's, but then a loss in the championship game. That's going to be the curious if that happens. I don't even know if we're like, you could honestly ask me, I'm like, I think we'd be in, not just because it's a Gonzaga podcast, but it's also like, I'd still feel like 60-40 going into the deal. You know what I'm saying?
I would feel pretty confident.
Same here.
And
but
if Purdue and UConn are both number one seeds, then we've
true.
Lost two games to number one seeds. Like mm-hmm. that means something.
It right? means something. So yeah, that's the hypothetical scenario I've gone through.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what the other better scenario is? Just if we finish second in the league, big deal. We get the top two seeds. Just go win two fucking games in Vegas.
Yeah,
I've said that.
Yep.
Just go win two games in Vegas. This team is definitely more as talented as any team in the WCC. This team's got grit. They're playing fantastic now. We got a talented group. You know, we got Graham's averaging 15-8. Anton's averaging 15. Nolan's averaging almost 14. Ryan's almost averaging 13. You know, Braden Huff's 10.8. And then Ben Gregg's only averaging 8.6. But if you put his starting you know, numbers are going to be way more inflated than that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this team has got plenty of firepower and will to play good enough to win that tournament. So I feel good where we're at. Obviously Santa Clara is going to be big. We play Portland tomorrow. The last games in Spokane, we went, I think it's 21, we made 18 threes, 22, we made 17, and last game we made 15.
Yeah.
So the only thing I'm going to talk about, if they back off us again, I'm going to just like literally, what the fuck are you doing?
That I was going to ask about
strategy.
This let us shoot to three. Like, I was just like,
so weird.
It was a weird game to watch. Like,
I get closing out short, and there's certain guys you dare. Like, that's 100% strategy. You can use that at any level.
Yeah.
But, like, the non contest is insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where guys literally stand there and they're like, okay, 1,001, two, you're not coming. And then, like, literally just stand. Like, you can close out short and late, and then a guy goes up, then you contest.
Yeah.
Even if he's a bad shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Always do that. Unless he's like, in the 15%, but that guy's not going to shoot. Like, you know, at that point, the other team's like, you better swing it and go set a ball screen or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's the only thing I'm talking about Portland. Obviously, we got to take care of business. You never know what can happen, but we're playing great right now. And this is a big stretch, though. Santa Clara and then San Francisco, asterisk, at Chase Center. So I'm curious to see how we play there. I think it's an advantage for us because we play more neutrals, and that building can get raucous. The Memorial Gym, and we don't have to play there, so it's like cool. We're playing at Chase, and usually our fans travel.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's more Gonzaga basketball fans than San Francisco. No offense to them, so it might be a 50-50 crowd, maybe 60-40 in our favor.
Yeah,
there's a lot of Bay Area fans.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
there will be.
Yeah.
It's just we travel well, and you've heard me say this before. I probably said in the past seasons, we're everybody's like second favorite team.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Kind of like, oh, I went here, but Gonzaga is always fun to watch. It's like, you know, like we're Man City for the EPL. Man City. Like everybody loves like watching Man City too.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, yeah, because they have, like, no history. Not that we don't, but you know what I mean? Like, you're not, like, latching on to, like, you're just like, oh, they're fun to watch. They got Pep and all these good players, and they just came out of nowhere. Sweet, I can like them.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't hurt me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how, to say we beat Portland, where our net comes to. But these last three games, Santa Clara at home and then San Francisco, then at St. Mary's, obviously massive stretch for us. If we can go 3-0 on that, and then theoretically, let's just say we finish second or first. Obviously, we want to win, but if we get second, cool. You'd have the regular season championship. Hang the banner up. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yay. Where our net will look and what bracketology will put us. But I just really think if we win those three and then we get to the championship game, obviously, we want to win it, but if something crazy happens, we lose at the buzzer, or lose by one, but still look good. I just feel like we're in. But we'll dive into that, you know,
when it comes to that.
When it comes to that. But again, I'm also like I said, just win two bleeping games in Vegas, and you don't have to worry about it, because then they can have, you know, go on a run in March. And like I said, this team's playing good basketball right now.
Yeah,
they really are. 20-6 is nothing to shake your head at, right? I mean, people need to understand. You know, where were we going? Just going down to LA, and you know, people see on the plane, and oh yeah, you know, my son went here and went there, and one of the ladies is like, yeah, it's such a weird year. Like, we're not very good. And I just was like, I'm always like, we're 18-6. You know, at the time, I was like, we're 18-6. She's like, yeah, and I'm just like, I get it, but holy crap, man. Like, it's not like we're like, you want to be Oregon State,
right?
Idaho State, you know what I mean? Like, these programs that literally are never good all. Oregon State obviously made that Elite Eight run like 5 years ago, whatever.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, for sure.
That are just in the bottom barrel all the time. Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah, we're spoiled. We're very spoiled. And like talking about the senior night thing, like there are no seniors on this team. Like if everyone comes back, especially the key players, like this team's going to have so much, has Marguerite's this year of experience,
continuity, chemistry.
Yeah.
So I like where we're at.
Yeah.
And that's the honest truth. People understand that. Fans that have listened to this podcast for a while know that I'll tell you 99% of the truth. Some stuff I gotta omit,
right,
just to be normal. But you know, there's certain things I'm not gonna say or put out there. But like, if this team was not playing good or playing cohesive, I'd say it. They're playing good and they're playing cohesive and their guys are balling out. That's what needs to happen in late February, early March. So I'm really looking forward to these next games. Obviously the Santa Clara game, Portland's obviously tomorrow. Hopefully we take care of business. But I think we're primed for, you know, really good basketball and go to Vegas and hopefully get that championship in there. So
yeah,
it's something to keep eye on, man. Like, and I know like some people view the bracketology stuff as just like talking heads. Like, no, they Lenardi's pretty spot on. Fox mm-hmm. is pretty good too. Like, they're guys and they do the metrics and all that mm-hmm. stuff. They're pretty spot on. Like, if you go year to year, I bet you they're probably at like a 90% clip of getting the teams right.
Right.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, no.
68. It's crazy.
And the thing, as a Gonzaga fan, like, since they introduced the net and, you know, this new system, like, we've never really had to have these conversations.
No.
Like, we've always just been a top four seed.
Is it 1 through 3, basically?
Yeah. So
1 through 3, and are we going to be on the West?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, we don't want to be, you know, exactly. So. Yeah. We are spoiled. It's a product of our own success, which is fine. But sometimes, again, like I referenced last year, we were in 15-5. And we lost to LMU at home, and everybody mm-hmm. would tell us that we suck. And Drew Timmy's washed, and Julian Strother can't play, and you know Malachi Smith, and just all that. It's all we heard, and that's all I play poker around town, so a lot of people talk to me. We're not very good this year, and we go to Elite Eight. Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up. Like, it's a long season. We have good players. You know, we're not just because we're not blowing everybody out. But all I heard for 5 years when we're blowing everybody out, this is boring. I heard the same thing. Didn't you hear the same thing?
I did, yeah.
This is stupid. Now it's like, well, what do you want?
Yeah.
Right?
It's so true. Like, it's just like we complain about being the WCC, and then the WCC is like getting more competitive and we're losing games and like people are freaking out.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is that WCC has been a 2-bid and a 3-bid league for 7 years in a row, mm-hmm. something like that. So like, what else do you know what I'm saying? Like, I get some of the WCC slander, but like you look at some years, like the ACC will be down, the Big Ten will be down, and they'll get 2, maybe 3 teams, but they have 14 or 15 teams.
Mm-hmm.
So shut up. Like,
yeah.
And we've gone to 2 Final Four, 2 championship games. Like, so playing in the WCC obviously didn't hurt us.
No.
It gets to 2 Final Fours, and you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. That stuff's for a different time. I get some of it, but sometimes it's just like, you don't know what you're talking about, so I'm just going to play dumb and let you continue the conversation.
Yeah.
That's what I do with people.
That's probably smart.
Yeah, it's like, you're right.
Looking at the bracketology, the one thing I thought was super interesting... The Perimeter will be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Hey, Hunter Green. Did you know that card control from ICCU lets you turn off your cards with just the tap of a button? Off. On.
Trying to pay our bills.
On.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably smart. Yeah, it's like, you're right.
Looking at the bracketology, the one thing I thought was super interesting, and hopefully it holds up, is right now... Gonzaga, Eastern, and WSU are all in the tournament.
That'd be sweet. That'd be really cool.
That would be so cool.
I'm gonna go on a tiny Big Sky rant real quick.
Yeah.
And I think I did it last season. If you finish first or second in your league, you shouldn't have to play that first game. You shouldn't have to play 3 games. Remember, Eastern had that 20-game winning streak last year, and they lose in the first round, and then they're done.
Yeah,
like you should get protected.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the point of finishing first
or
second, right? Because you're going to have to beat a team you beat 3 times for the 3rd time, so it's hard. So, like, that league totally fucked that up. Like, protect them. You get 1 game off. You know, you either get to the quarters or semis or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they make that tournament, now they have, hey, there's a team that's won 24 games in a row from the Big Sky.
Yeah.
14 seed instead of a 16. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
14 seed story. Oh, they're the little sister basketball program of Gonzaga. They're literally 25 minutes away, but they're really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fuck that whole thing up.
Yeah.
I know the counter is like, oh, go and win. It's like, no, you have to beat a team 3 times. Like, what's the point of finish first or second if you don't get a game off?
Mm-hmm.
There's no point.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like, well, you're going to play the worst. Of course you do, but you still have to beat a team 3 times
mm-hmm.
the 3rd time that season. So, yeah, like, hopefully Eastern continues to do well, but like Big Sky, like, get rid of that. If you finish first or second, get rid of that game.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. That's the point of winning, is, you know.
Yeah.
There's some
Because Gonzaga used to have, in the WCC.
They used to have the third game, Fuey always complained about it, and I think even St. Mary's started to figure it out, too. It's like, why do we have to play somebody? We have to beat them the third time, mm-hmm. where no matter what, it killed your RPI, mm-hmm. and you have everything to lose.
Yeah.
So so then finishing first or second matters.
Right.
So, like, the league is smart and did that. Like, mm-hmm. WCC was like, yes, let's protect our better teams. Like, even St. Mary's, that, you know, has finished second a lot. Like, you want them to look good in front of the NCAA if they don't win the tournament. Mm-hmm. And so they get in, and they've got in because they figured out their metric probably 7-8 years ago. He started scheduling better. You know, he started to figure out, like, hey, I have good enough teams that, like, I need to get to 25 wins, but I can't have, like, you know, he's had a bad metric earlier. He's mm-hmm. a good coach, but, like, the metric wasn't lining up with how to get in the NCAA tournament with a bid. Now he's figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I hope that they do that, but it would be cool if Washington State does it,
mm-hmm.
and then obviously us, and then Eastern. That'd be pretty cool if schools within an hour and a half of each other or whatever. And good for Washington State, too. Kyle mm-hmm. Smith's a good coach, and their first time ranked since, what, 2008, I think I saw, or something crazy.
Oh, wow. So that was Clay Thompson?
I think it was Clay Thompson and the what's the little Hawaiian point guard that they had, and then Aaron Baines, and then they had, Kyle Weaver, I think was his name. Mm-hmm. They had that good crew.
Yeah.
What was the little white Hawaiian kid's name? What was his name?
Oh, gosh, I'm not sure.
He's a good player, too, man. Super good player. I forgot. And then they had another little point guard that was good. But Baines was obviously played in the league forever. I don't know if Clay was in that crew.
No, I don't think he was.
Yeah, it was the crew with Tony Bennett.
Okay.
That's what I think it was. Because I think Clay was with Ken Bone.
Oh, was it Derek Lowe?
Derek Lowe. Yep. Good player.
Yeah.
But yeah, they had that pocket where they were good for like 3-4 years, mm-hmm. And ranked and had some excitement down there. And I think Kyle Smith's turned it around, but good for him. You know what I mean? Like, it's, like I said, it's more fun when UW's better. It's more fun when Washington State's better. And I mean that. Like, mm-hmm. it's more fun when those games happen because we're playing them next year twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that'll be cool for the, you know, the fan base and stuff like that. And I know some Coug fans kind of get sick of hearing about us. And, mm-hmm. but then it's like, well, you guys got football. So
that's true.
I don't know. I'm like, I get it, but it's like, it's not like we're just, you know, dominating the media just because we're like Ohio State versus Ohio. It's like, we're just better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, our program is better. But yeah, congrats to them. I didn't even pick up on that. So good little nugget there that they both are, all three of them have them in. So
Eastern's is all predicated on the fact that they got to win the big sky.
Got to win the big sky, obviously. Right. But again, like, if you're the Big Sky Conference, like,
you got to change that.
I mean, it's just, you get rewarded for winning the league or finishing second. That's your reward. You play one less game. The other team that has to play is tired. Like, it's the point of winning the league. Then what's the point of winning the league? You get a first seed. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
You got to play a team. You got to beat them three times in college. It's hard in 1 year.
Mm.
Harder than people think. And then you have all the pressure on you.
Mm-hmm.
Like that Eastern team last year, like, enormous amount of pressure. They're playing, I think NAU beat them. Liam Lloyd's team.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they were probably just like, before the game, like, we have nothing to lose. Like, fuck it. And then it gets tight, and then that's what happens.
Yeah.
Right? So, anyway, rant over about the Big Sky.
But no, it's good.
It doesn't make any sense. Thanks for everybody listening. Again, we're going to talk about Santa Clara recap, and then a huge week with San Francisco and St. Mary's, potentially two quad one wins potential, and then a chance to really – move into that second slot firmly, maybe win the league, tie St. Mary's, who's two games ahead. But again, you just want to finish in that top two so you get that first round bye in the WCC. Like how this team's playing, like where we're at. Keep listening. Thank you to McGilvery Environmental, Idaho Central Credit Union, HDG Architecture. We'll see you next week.